Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Jason Silva is here, too. Jason is a new friend. He's a filmmaker. He's a futurist. In fact, The Atlantic called him the Timothy Leary of the video viral video age. He is... He's a guy that that National Geographic has asked to host their new program called Brain Games, and which is coming up soon, I guess another week or so, on National Geographic. You know how much I love that channel, actually that whole series of channels. And he's here to talk to us about how our brain works, how it's working, and how it's being impacted by the 21st century world around us. Jason Silva, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. I bet you had a lot of fun doing this program, didn't you?
Oh, we had an absolute blast. I mean, the series really, it's a pop science series about the brain that's making brain science and neuroscience really understandable, really clear to mainstream audiences. I mean, we do that through a series of interactive experiments and perceptual illusions and optical illusions, and really the star of the show is your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Brain experts and cognition experts have created these experiments to have a show that's really lean-in programming. So the idea is that people at home can kind of like, they can pay attention and they can participate in these games that we create, and through participating in those games, they have an actual visceral experience.
Mm-hmm.
Of wow, there we fool them, we trick them, we show them the built-in shortcomings of the brain. And so the big key takeaway in a different sort of subtopic in every episode is, wow, reality is not always what it seems.
Mm-hmm.
What you see is not always what you get. And even though the brain is the most complicated object in the universe, it's surprisingly easy to fool.
Well, so and also it seems to me that the brain, or at least the way we use our brain, is evolving over time. And the reason I say that is, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't think anybody in the current age is any smarter, intellectually speaking, than the founders of our nation. I mean, those guys were really smart. They were the futurists.
Sure.
They were the futurists of their time, but they didn't have their world was different from ours. And when I talk about evolving, you know, I've been using computers since the 70s, and I'm pretty good at seeing things on the screen and everything, but I'm still a baby boomer. I got
sure.
kids in their 20s working for me, and when we're looking at the same screen, they pick up on things much faster than I do. Even though I was using a computer before their parents were born. You know, they still see these things, and I believe it's because their brain has been programmed to identify things quicker than mine has been. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I think that's really fascinating. I mean, I think one thing we know about the brain is that it's incredibly malleable. I mean, we have this wonderful neuroplasticity, and mankind has always been adept at sort of dovetailing himself to his tools. We sort of distribute
mm-hmm.
our intelligence, or we distribute our cognition with our tools, whether it was the invention of writing, where all of
mm-hmm.
a sudden we could do a lot of our thinking in the space between our heads, and also what we were writing on paper, you know. There are a school of cognitive philosophers. One of them is called Andy Clark. He wrote a book called Natural Born Cyborg, and he talks about man's proclivity for tool-based extension. So basically he says our brains are made to merge with our tools and our environments. And, you know, today we extend our brains with computers and with iPhones, but what's so fascinating is that this is the same piece of hardware we've had for 100,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, consider that piece of hardware that we've had for 100,000 years, it's just as adept to use a spear to hunt in the, you know, as we did in when we were
mm-hmm.
early hominids in the savannas of Africa, as it is at navigating computer code and cyberspace. So talk about a malleable brain. I think that's fascinating.
Well,
another really interesting point, though, is that even though our brains are so good at using increasingly powerful tools to extend their boundaries, we still have difficulty wrapping our heads around the fact that these technologies evolve exponentially. So even though we viscerally enjoy these technologies, even though we assimilate them and adapt to them, we still don't cognitively understand the pace of the change of technology that we're witnessing today. And that's because our brains are still used to a linear and local world, because that's the space in which they evolve. But today we live in a world that is global and exponential.
And increasingly in the cloud.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think that that's the reason that people have this, people refer to bandwidth anxiety, is that we don't have enough RAM in our brains to sort of handle all the powerful tools that all of a sudden are competing for our attention. So it's just like we have these amazing smartphones that can store 5,000 telephone numbers, but then we are getting like stuck figuring out, well, but who do I call or who do I email or which email do I read first because I'm getting 100 a day. It's just I'm really interested in that space and that relationship between brains
and I am too. And I've talked a little bit about this with my audience, you and I've talked off the air about some work that I'm doing in this area. What I'm fascinated by is how the technology that we have and that we're gaining, how it is being designed to benefit humans.
Sure.
But how over the long term, maybe 5 years or maybe 50 years or 500 years, over the long term, what is that doing to humanity? And I think we should differentiate between those two, between a human, you and me, and humanity, you know, all humans and our society.
Yeah, well, Stuart Brand, the writer of the Whole Earth Catalog, I mean, he has a foundation called the Long Now Foundation, which is teaching people to look at big history, what they call the long view perspective, which is to look at sort of the impact that we have on larger timescales, not just the timescales of a generation, but the timescales, you know, over 100 years, over 1,000 years. I think those perspectives are very important. However, I also think it's important to point out that, you know, even though it runs counterintuitive to what people think, we've actually never been in a world that is safer than our current world.
Right.
We've never been in a world that is more connected than our current world. I often point people to the work of Steven Pinker. He has a big TED Talk called Myth of Violence. And he says that, contrary to popular belief, we've actually never been in a less violent world. Mm-hmm. The chances of a man dying at the hands of another man are the lowest than they've ever been on average.
Yeah, I believe that. Okay, so we're going to go to another segment, Jason, but tell us when the program is coming on, quickly.
9 p.m. Eastern, April 22nd, next Monday.
All right, stand by, quick break. That's a National Geographic channel, by the way, folks. Be sure to watch it and put it on your...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.